It's the dictionary.
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 Hello, word nerds. Welcome to the dictionary. We are in the weird little limbo zone between seasons 6 and season 7. Seasons? Season. Just singular season. Season 6 and Season 7. The seasons of 6 and 7. This is the weird time. I'm posting episodes once a week, and you are getting new words. New words that were added to the Oxford Dictionary. We are currently looking at the section that was added in March of 2025, and it's a very, very long list. So let's do another 20 words or so. Okay, here we go. 1, 2, 3. Let's do it. By the way, I guess we're not doing it. We're saying you can join the Patreon for only $1 American a month. I don't think that's worth very much. It's just a tiny little bit of money every month, and you will get very early episodes, including this. Maybe you are, if you join, you will have heard this if you had joined before, but no, maybe, but then you'll get the next one early if you join right now. Also, you can write a review on the podcast places. If you prefer video, you can watch this on YouTube and see some things happening. Whoop. Me, you can see me hitting the microphone. What else? You can email me, dictionarypod@gmail.com. You can call the Google Voice number and leave a voicemail, 917-727-5757, and I shall put it in an episode. And if you don't want it to be in an episode, then you can say, please leave it private for you, just for you. What else? Social media, @DictionaryPod. My personal is @SpeedJampar. I haven't really been posting a lot. There's just really a lot of crap going on in the world. And why do I need to clutter it with silly pictures of my face or food? I don't know. It's such a weird world that we're living in right now. Ah. Anyway, let's talk about some words. The first word in this pre-G bonus episode is Campo Santo. Two words. It is a noun, and it is a cemetery or graveyard. Also, an area of consecrated ground suitable for burial. You can bury things here, right here in this Campo Santo. It doesn't say where it is from, but it sure seems Spanish, maybe? Let's see. There is a video game developer called Campo Santo. Entertainment company? Yeah, no, I don't want to hear anything about that. Yes. Let's see. It is Spanish. It could be a number of things, of course. Let's see. There's in northwestern Argentina, there is a town called Campo Santo, which I guess maybe you can just bury a lot of people there. There are people with the name something Campo Santos or Campos Santos. But it seems definitely seems Spanish. Okay, moving on to what is this word? Carniceria. Carniceria. There's probably a couple of ways you can pronounce this. Carniceria is probably how I would want to say it. This is a noun, and if you know a bit of Spanish, you could probably figure out what this is. This is originally among Hispanic Americans. That's where this word is coming from. And it is a butcher shop or market selling meat. The R-I-A or the E-R-I-A suffix at the end is usually like a place to do this thing. I can't think of any examples off the top of my head, but we look at the first part of the word, carni, C-A-R-N-I, it's sometimes also with an E instead of an I, carne is meat in Spanish, and so, yeah, it's the place where the meat is happening, and I shall never go to a carniceria unless it is, of course, a vegan one. Next word, carreta. There is the double R there, so I think it is good to do the little tongue flutter. A lot of Spanish words in this section. I wonder why. So a carreta is a noun, and it is any of various types of cart or wagon. Specifically, in the southwestern U.S. and Mexico. Specifically in that section, that area, it is a long, simple cart with two high wheels. So I guess this would be just kind of the cart that you, like, maybe there's some places that you can hold on, some sticks, some dowels that you can hold onto, and then it's just got two wheels. And so you're pushing this carreta. And I think that maybe we should look up a picture of a carreta just to confirm that we are correct. Well, it means cart in English. Yeah, that's really what it is. There's two places to hold your hands, and then there's two dowels, two sticks, two pieces of wood that go down. So when you want to set it down, it doesn't tip over and you'll lose all your stuff. That would be pretty terrible. And then, yeah, it's got maybe one or two wheels on the other side. So you can cart your stuff around. Maybe put some children in there and cart them around. And they're like, yay, we're in a carreta. All right, next we have sensor morum. This is two words. Seems Latin. This is a noun, and it is a person who or thing which exercises authority over conduct or morals. And that's specifically public conduct or morals. A censor or censor morum. A person who exercises authority over public conduct or morals. I've got some personal issues with this. What says that you can tell us what the public conduct or morals are? What gives you the authority to be the censor morum? I guess, so technically, if you work for, what, the MPAA, you are censoring what's in movies or saying what the rating should be based on what's in there. That's a little bit less censoring, but back in the day, there was a lot of censoring in movies. I don't know. I don't know what context we're using this censor morum in exactly, but I don't love this idea. But yes, that is what it is. It's words, so it's got to be in the dictionary. Relatedly, we have censoring. So it's censor with an ing. This is an adjective. Seems weird that it's just now getting into the dictionary, but I guess it's being used so much these days when so much is being censored that it's got to be in the dictionary. It says that censors something or someone in various senses, and also engaged in or responsible for censorship. So this would be like, since it's an adjective, you're using it to describe something that is doing the censoring, the action of censoring. And so it would be like a censoring person. They are the thing or the person who is responsible for censorship. A censoring body of people, a censoring company, a censoring thing. I am not a censoring person, even though my name is Spencer and it rhymes with censor. I am not that type of person. I am not a censoring Spencer. Don't love the censorship in general. All right, let's move on to, just trying to remind myself where the last word, what's the last word that we're going to do? Oh yeah, it's going to be that one. That's an interesting word. Okay, so now we did censoring, and we are now going to move on to charanga. C-H-A-R-A-N-G-A. This, again, seems like a Spanish word. It is a noun, and it is a type of Cuban band, usually consisting of flute, bass guitar, piano, violins, and percussion. Also, the genre of music played by such a band. And that seems like the end of a sentence, but there's an ellipsis, so there's more to it. You gotta go pay Oxford to get all of the words. Charanga. I don't know if I've ever heard of a charanga band or music. I would like to hear it. I like all music. Let's listen to some charanga. You can go find some. Maybe I'll put a link in the show notes for a video or a something of a charanga song. All right, next we have charreada. Charreada? Is that how you say it? C-H-A-R-R-E-A-D-A. Charreada. Noun, and it is in Mexico and among Mexican Americans. That's our context. And it is a public exhibition or competition demonstrating equestrian skills historically used in Mexican haciendas, and dot, dot, dot. If you haven't heard the first episode of my pre-G bonus episodes, you will understand that, sort of as I described earlier, you only get a certain amount of links in a section of time. So, I don't know, I guess I could use, like, incognito mode or clear the cookies or the biscuits or something. I don't know, but I'm not doing that. So, you just have to find out the rest of the definition on your own. But what is the main part of this is a public exhibition or competition showing your skills on the horses, a charreada. Now, I don't know what, I don't think charreada, I don't know what the horse part is. Maybe I just don't know the word for horse in Spanish. I feel like I would know it. Let's see. Let's just look up charreada, and it just means charreada. But now let's switch English to Spanish, and let's look up horse. What's horse? Caballo. Yes, yes, yes. So I don't see a connection there between charreada and caballo, but, you know, there's some other connection that I'm just not aware of. All right. Yeah, don't necessarily love the idea of doing these competitions and stuff with horses, but, you know, it's a cultural thing that's been going on for probably many, many years. So that's what they're doing. Now we have sort of a similar word. It's charreria. So charreria. Charreria. There's an accent on the I. And this is a noun, and it is again in Mexico and among Mexican Americans. And interesting. It is the exact same definition as the previous one. A public exhibition or competition demonstrating equestrian skills historically used in Mexican haciendas and more. So I guess they can use either word, charreada or charreria. And you see that E-R-I-A suffix at the end. It's like a place to do this thing. All right, next. Looks like we got more Spanish. It is chilango. C-H-I-L-A-N-G-O. It is a noun and an adjective. And this is a slang word originally derogatory and offensive. So apologies if this is offensive to your ears if you know Spanish. Oh, this is interesting. It's a native or inhabitant of Mexico City. So is it that other people in Mexico or maybe other Spanish-speaking areas are using this slang word against people from Mexico City, calling them chilango? I don't know why. If you have any information about this or want to look up something, I don't know, send me a message. If you want. That's an interesting one. They're all very interesting. Words are interesting. Next we have chili paste. Chili paste. You can spell it with one L or two L's. It is a noun, and it is a paste containing chilies as the main ingredient, used in cooking or as a condiment. I like a bit of spicy stuff. I don't go crazy with the spicy. My spicy stuff has got to have a bit of flavor. I don't like hot for hot's sake. Oh, for hot's sake. No, I like some flavor. So I'm sure I have had chili paste in a number of dishes, but I don't know if I've ever used it as a condiment necessarily. Can't think of that specifically. But yeah, usually I think it's like mixed in to whatever dish I'm getting. You want it hot? You put in some chili paste. All right, next we have chingada. Now, I think I have heard of this word earlier. What was it? The previous episode we had something different. Anyway, what is a chingada? It is a noun and an adjective, and it does say derogatory and offensive. Now, it doesn't say slang, but it is derogatory and offensive, so maybe don't use it. And this is, it is as a general term of abuse, contempt, or disapproval for a woman. So yeah, definitely don't be using this. There's no cause for this. No reason to be saying this word. Okay? Oh, there's a little bit more information. I don't fully understand the context. It's looking like it's like another, anyway, the other context is it's the word whore. W-H-O-R-E. So that's like just another way. I don't know if that's a translation of it exactly, but yeah, maybe just don't use this. Okay, very good. I'm glad that we are in agreement about that. All right, next we have Chupacabra. This is with a capital C because it's the name of a thing. It's its name. Chupacabra. Chupacabra. Abracadabra, chupacabra. No. All right. This is a noun, and it is a creature purported to exist in parts of the Americas, especially Puerto Rico, Mexico, and the southwestern U.S., where it is said to attack and .. Many people, I think, these days have heard of the chupacabra. I think, you know, a lot of people will say it is not mythical. Some people will say it is mythical. It's not a real thing. I've seen, I think, pictures of, like, hairless bears that people are like, that's a chupacabra, or a hairless dog or something, and they're like, we don't know what that is. But then other people are like, no, it's just a hairless dog. And so, yeah, it's... does the chupacabra exist? I don't know. I think it's just like, it's a thing that's attacking our animals, our livestock, our maybe people. I don't know. So watch out for the chupacabra if you are going to Puerto Rico, Mexico, and the southwestern U.S. I wonder if that, does that translate to something specifically? Chupacabra. Let's look that up. It just means chupacabra. That's it. They were like, what are we going to call it? Somebody was like, I know, we'll call the chupacabra because that's a scary name. Next, we have clap cold. Clap cold, two words, like I'm clapping, but my hands are cold and they're very numb and I don't like clapping when they're cold. So it is an adjective and it means very cold or stone cold, especially for food and drink, now unpleasantly cold, having once been hot. Ooh, okay, so I understand this context. But I don't really understand clap cold. Why clap? Do you understand why? Can you give me some information, please? Can I look it up? Nope, not going to do that. I'm not going to look up clap cold. Sometimes maybe you're drinking a tea. Maybe you're drinking a coffee. Maybe you are drinking a hot chocolate milk, and you're like, this is not hot anymore. My hot chocolate milk is now just regular chocolate milk, but I want it to be hot chocolate milk. It's now clap cold. This is some clap cold hot chocolate milk. It is unpleasantly cold, having once been hot. I have a coffee here. It is still pretty hot. In fact, I had a drink, and I think I burned my throat a little bit. And so later, If I take too long to drink it, then maybe that will be clap cold. Your food, sometimes your food, you're like, if I'm just eating slow, I want my food to be pretty hot. And I'm like, it cooled down. I don't want to eat this food anymore. It's clap cold. I've got to heat it up. All right, next we have clowny. I assume the definition is just going to say like a clown. It's an adjective. And it is of resembling or characteristic of a clown. In various senses of the noun, different ways that we can use the word clown, I guess. But especially having the appearance or behavior typical of a circus clown, .. But I think that's fine. That's a good end of the sentence. Is it like a circus clown? Then it's clowny. Is that person walking down the street wearing makeup on their face to look like a clown? Then they are clowny. I am not very clowny because I'm not typically doing clowny things. Painting my face, wearing very colorful clothes, maybe juggling, maybe unicycling, although I do know how to unicycle, so I'm partially clowny, just a little clowny. Next we have collab. C-O-L-L-A-B. Noun, and it just means collaboration. A joint project, especially between two writers, musicians, designers, etc. two creative people coming together, or more, maybe more than two, coming together to do a thing, to make a thing all together. They are collaborating. They are doing a collab. Hey, would you like to collab on a thing? Then we shall do a collab. Then we shall go to the next word, which is collab verb, intransitive. And this is especially of musicians, artists, writers, etc. And it means to collaborate. Let's collab on a collab. Also, just to work together on a project or piece of work. Frequently with the words with or on. Collab with, collab on. Sometimes you will see songs that say, this artist featuring this other artist. They collabed on it. How wonderful for them. I'm so happy for those people who have collabed on a collabed. Do I collab on anything? Not really. I'll be a guest on your show. If you have a podcast or a YouTube show, I would happily be a guest. Would that be a collab? Not exactly. But I'll collab on stuff. Next we have collectability. Noun. The quality or fact of being worth collecting or of being sought after by collectors. Ooh, I have this coin. I have this nickel from 1422. Oh, you are going to love this nickel. It has a lot of collectability because I don't think nickels existed in 1422. America wasn't even a country yet. So that has a lot of collectability. All right, next we have, would you say collectory? It's the word collect with A-R-Y. Collectory, noun, a book containing a collection of prayers known as collects, or other liturgical texts. So the collects, the prayers, which are also called collects, are put into this book called the collectory. Didn't know about that. Next, we have collectathon. Is this like a 24-hour thon thing where you're trying to raise money so people can collect stuff? This is a noun. It's in the video gaming world, and it is a game that requires the player to collect a certain number of items in order to make progress. Also, a game that focuses on collecting items. You gotta go get all the items in this collectathon. I don't really know why we're using the suffix athon in this situation. Is there another word, another suffix that we could use for this game? A collect? I don't know. I can't think of anything. But yeah, I don't know. I don't really play the games anymore. I used to when I was younger, but I have other priorities now. And I can't even come up with an example of what a collectathon would be. I don't know. Your Sonic was collecting coins, right? Were those ring coins? So I guess that would maybe be a collectathon. All right, let's do one more word for this episode. It's still in the collect world, and it is collectomania. I got the collectomania. I'm collecting all the stuff in my video game. I'm collecting coins. I actually used to do some collecting when I was young. I do have some old coins, mostly that were passed down to me from my grandparents. I had a big old collection of Monopoly games. I probably had over 20 Monopoly games. I have since sold them because I didn't need so many. I wasn't even playing them. What's the point? I wouldn't mind having a collection of musical instruments someday, but I am not at that place yet. So right now, I guess I'm collecting podcast episodes. All right, collectomania. It is a noun, and it is enthusiasm or obsessive passion for collecting. Specifically, an excessive desire to collect objects or memorabilia of a specific type. And of course, I have to call out my two very good friends, Ethan Ullman and David Elvis Rossi, who have been on this podcast two times, and I think just two times, and they are very, 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 very big Weird Al fans, and they just finished, I'm recording this at the end of September, and they just finished going to many, many of his shows during his very long tour, his 2025 tour, and so not only did they collect tickets, but they also collected a lot of merchandise. And before that, I mean, they're two of the biggest Weird Al collectors out there in the world. And so someday I would love to physically see their collection, although I think a lot of it's probably in boxes, I would have to assume. But yes, they got the collectomania. They got the Weird Al collectomania. All right. Well, I think that's going to be it for this episode. I hope you have enjoyed hearing some more words that were added to the Oxford Dictionary in March of 2025. And we're going to talk about some more of them. We are. I guess I'm a little bit of a collector of graphic tees. I think I have at least 30 or 40 that I regularly go through. And I have some other ones that I've sort of put in storage, but I would, and I've years ago tossed countless, gotten rid of countless shirts that I kind of wish I still had. But I think it would be fun to like display some someday or just keep them. I don't know. But I think I'm too old maybe to be wearing these graphic tees. I need to mix it up. I need to have some of these sort of young person shirts, but I also need some sort of nicer, fancier clothes to be a little bit more mature. I bounce back and forth between mature and immature, just like probably you do. So, yes, I'm a little bit of a, I got a little bit of the collectomania for graphic tees. All right, that's going to be it for this episode. Thank you so much for checking out this show. Tell your friends, get ready for the G's. You know, if you haven't caught up or if your friends have not caught up, you got to go start at the beginning. You should by now have access to all of the episodes, all 2,000 plus episodes. And so check them out. And of course, like I said, if you want to see it, see me talking, then you should go check this out on YouTube. Subscribe. Watch them all. Just hit the playlist and let it run. All right. This has been Spencer, not censoring anything, dispensing information. Goodbye. If you're thinking about starting a podcast, either by yourself, with a co-host, with guests, audio only, or with video, keep on listening. I started podcasting in early 2019, and for the rare occasions I had on a guest, it was always in person. But once the pandemic came around and everything became remote, using Zencastr really opened up the possibilities of who I could have on as a guest. I've recorded guests using Zencastr everywhere, from just a handful of miles away from me in the Chicago area, all the way to the other side of the world in New Zealand. The video and audio quality are great, especially if they have a decent camera and microphone. And getting the files couldn't be easier. I love that Zencastr records the audio and video to each person's local computer, so the quality isn't lowered because of internet hiccups. It then uploads the footage to the platform during the recording, and when you hit stop, it quickly finishes the upload and processes the files so you can directly download them. The files are even accessible even if something goes wrong. And so of course, this next part, I will read verbatim from Zencastr because, of course, I couldn't have said it better myself. It's super easy to record a podcast with Zencastr. Log in using your browser and start recording a high-quality podcast right away. Record studio-quality sound and up to 4K video with your guests. Feel a sense of Zen knowing Zencastr's multi-layered backups ensure you always have your recordings in the highest quality, even if the connection is unstable. Have you ever worried what you sound like? Zencastr's post-production process makes you sound buttery smooth. It automatically removes those ums and ahs in your recording. It removes those awkward pauses in conversation, too. Set the right podcast loudness and levels while reducing background noise with a click of a button. If you have thought about podcasting before and realized that you need a lot of different tools and services, those days are over. With Zencastr's all-in-one podcasting platform, you can create your podcast all in one place and distribute to Spotify, Apple, and other major destinations. Go to zencastr.com/pricing and use my code WORDNERD, WORDNERD, and you'll get 30% off your first month of any Zencastr paid plan. I want you to have the same easy experiences like I do for all my podcasting and content needs. It's time to share your story.